Sunday, February 14th, 2021. Welcome. Our scripture readings this week we find in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 12, and 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. Our message today is based on the Gospel of Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. I'll invite you to read, to pray, and to meditate on our scriptures so that God's word may transform your heart and your soul. Please read with me Mark 9, 2 through 9, the transfiguration of the Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Well, then a cloud appeared and enveloped him, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A little boy asked his mother, "Marriage makes you have babies, doesn't it, Mom?" Well, the mother reluctantly answered her son, "Well, not exactly. Just because you are married doesn't mean that you have a baby." Well, the boy continued his inquiry, "Then how do you have babies?" Well, his mother, not very enthusiastic about continuing, answered, "It's kind of hard to explain." Well, the boy paused and he thought for a moment. He then moved closer to Mom, looked her right in the eye, and carefully said, "You don't really know how it works, do you, Mom?" Now, believe it or not, this is one of the most dreaded Sundays in the Christian year for folks who use the lectionary for their preaching. Why? Well, because it deals with the transfiguration of Jesus. And generally, this is one of those, "what does it mean and how am I supposed to explain that" sort of passages. It's difficult because, like the little boy told his mother, we don't really know how it works. And when you don't know how something works, it's hard to explain. So I've titled this week's message, Transformation. So just look at this passage. So Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to go up on the mountain to pray. And Jesus takes sort of a midweek mini retreat and invites 3 or 4 original disciples to go with him. I'm almost sure they were excited. Then up on a mountaintop, they're praying up a storm. That's according to Luke 9:28. And when all of a sudden Jesus flips open his communicator and says, "Two to beam down, Mr. Scott." And then there's Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus. It's like an episode of Star Trek. Moses and Elijah are suddenly standing there like 2 ghosts from the past. They appeared right out of thin air. Well, that's not really the way it happened, but in light of today's reading, I hoped and pray that it would get your attention. Scripture says that the disciples were terrified. Of course, I've always wanted to tell the author, "No fooling." We would have been terrified too. Out of the clear blue sky, the guy we've been traveling with for the past 2 or 3 years starts to glow and shine like some special effects of a science fiction movie. And then ghosts of 2 of Israel's most powerful and beloved ancestors are standing with him. You bet we'd be terrified. Then just as suddenly as they appeared, Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus is back to normal. But not before we hear from God, and not before Peter sticks his foot in his mouth. Talk about a strange passage. What are we supposed to make of this passage? And how does it fit into our daily lives? Well, one thing is clear. The disciples witnessed Jesus like they'd never seen him before. On this day, they saw him as Moses and Elijah always see him, as God always sees him. They saw him as we will all see him when he returns. They saw Jesus in his full glory. It wasn't a Hollywood special effects or some kind of a trick. See, we're often too much like the parrot in the story of a brilliant magician who was performing on an ocean liner. But every time he did a trick, the captain's parrot would yell, "It's a trick! He's a phony! That's not magic!" Well, then one evening during a storm, the ship sank while the magician was performing. And the parrot and the magician ended up on the same lifeboat. And for several days, they just glared at each other, neither saying a word to the other. And finally, the parrot said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?" So contrast that with what we see taking place on the mountain. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop so they might renew their spirits and gain some spiritual insight. But Peter, now, he didn't get it right away. And you can't really blame him. Talk about a Kodak moment. All those biblical figures just gathered in one place. And once he got over his fear of the unknown and recognized the glory of the moment, Peter went into action. He wanted to memorialize the event. He wanted to build three shelters in which to worship. And he basically put his foot in his mouth by saying, "Rabbi, it's good. Let us put up three shelters." Well, Peter instantly returned to Jesus as his rabbi. And by saying that, "This is a good thing," he emphasized his lack of his understanding. The three shelters or tabernacles, I believe, are not meant to represent the Mosaic tabernacle, but more likely stem from the Feast of the Tabernacles in Leviticus, when many Jews built shelters out of branches and dwelled in them for a seven-day festival. Verse 6 tells us he didn't know what to say. Peter may have simply wanted to prolong the experience, but he was quite mistaken. His error is pretty clear. He has made Elijah and Moses equal to Jesus, and now be corrected by God himself, because they are God's messengers. Jesus is the Son. Mark makes it clear that Peter just blurts out the first thing that pops into his mind. The disciples are terrified and nearly speechless. I can almost imagine seeing Jesus give Peter the eye, as if to say, "No, our work isn't on the mountain, it's back down in the valley." But that's when God got Peter's attention by speaking up. Basically, God said, "Be quiet and listen." Mark's gospel puts it this way. God said, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." So one of the things we can learn from this passage is to listen. To listen to God and to listen to Jesus, the Son of God. Kind of reminds me of what the psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God," in Psalms 46:10. So what are we supposed to make of this passage, and how does it fit into our daily lives? Learn to listen. Mark's gospel also tells us suddenly when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. We're invited to listen to God, and we're invited to see and to focus on Jesus. That's hard to do. It was hard for Peter. It's equally as difficult, if not harder, for us. Look at all the things that we have to distract us, especially during this pandemic. School and families, career, politics, and all those things that can get in our way with our relationship with Jesus. Not to mention the other things like computers and video games, TV, radio, music, sports, career, movies, etc. They can all cause us to lose our focus on Jesus. Too often we're like the very nervous airline passenger who began to pacing the terminal with bad weather delayed his flight. And during his walk, he ran across to one of those life insurance machines. It offered $100,000 in the event of any untimely death aboard his flight. Well, the policy was just $3. He He looked out his window and at the threatening clouds and thought about his family and at home. And for that price, it was foolish not to buy, so he took out the coverage. He then looked for a place to eat. It was one of those larger airports, so it had a pretty good variety of eateries. So he settled on his favorite Chinese. He had a relaxing and a calming meal until he opened his fortune cookie and it read, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." Well, he took a different flight. The poor guy lost his focus. He let little things get in the way and distract him from his purpose to get home and from the knowledge that flying is probably the safest form of transportation. See, we do the same thing with our relationship with God. We let other things, less important things, less meaningful things, sometimes even trivial things, distract us from our purpose, which is to love and to serve God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We let other things get in the way of our relationship with God. And when what we are called to do is to stay focused. We're called to stay focused, and we're called to help others stay focused too. Well, a few years ago, there was an article in the Faith and Inspiration section of the Star Telegram on Saturday, and it was titled, "Impress a Teen, Go to Church." Well, according to the Princeton Religion Research Center publication, Emerging Trends, a survey conducted with teenagers shows that teenagers are impressed by adults who go to church and other places of worship. 81% of the youth polled said that with all the talk of the need to instill a sense of values in young people for positive role models, there is one simple positive step adults can take: go to church or another place of worship. Well, our best influence is our own action and our own personal relationship with God. It helps us stay focused and live a faithful life. And it helps others stay focused as well. So what are we supposed to make of this passage, and how does it fit into our daily lives? We need to learn to stay focused. We're called to listen to God and to focus on Jesus only. And when that happens, we will be transformed. You see, I don't think this passage is so much about Jesus being transformed right before their very eyes as it is a transforming moment for Peter, James, and John. Because in this moment of transfiguration, it's not just Jesus' appearance that changes, but Peter, James, and John's perception of Jesus changes too. Until this moment, they suspected some things, but they weren't positive about who Jesus was. But from that moment on, there could be no doubt. God had spoken, and all three of them had heard it. All three of them witnessed the transfiguration. And all three of them saw Moses and Elijah standing with the one whom God called his beloved son. They were transformed by this experience. But it wasn't an instant transformation. It was an ongoing, slow, day-by-day process. If it had been in an instant, Peter wouldn't have run away at the crucifixion or doubted prior to Pentecost. For some, like the Apostle Paul, transformation happens overnight. But most of us, we get transformed a little at a time. It's like building up your savings. We are transformed gradually by faith and relationship with Jesus and with others who love and serve Jesus. We're transformed through the guidance and the presence of God's Holy Spirit in our daily lives. And that's good, because Christianity is not in the business of information about God, but transformation by God. As Paul reminded us in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians, we're not the light, just the bearers of the light. And the world needs the light we bear so much. The light we bear and the good news we share have the power to transform lives, to transform the world one life at a time. So what are we supposed to make of this passage, and how does it fit into our daily lives? Be transformed. God is working a work of transformation in our church during this pandemic. And God is working a work of transformation through each of us. So So our challenge is to continue to listen to God and to stay focused on Jesus only. We may not really know how it works, but when we listen to God and focus on Jesus only, God's work of transformation continues and lives are changed. In his service, this has been Pastor Joe.